If you would, turn with me to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to land there for a moment during this message, towards the middle, 1 Timothy 4. Last week I gave you a handout, and I asked you to bring it, but if you didn't bring it, that's okay. I think we have a few more left. Or if you weren't here last week, then just raise your hand, and we'll get those, however many left we have. So it looks like we have a few left, so just raise your hand if you don't have it. If you have it, just keep it. But if you don't have one, what's that? Oh, Sonia has an extra one, so if anybody needs that, Elmer will come and grab it. But we're getting those around to those who don't have them. Darlene up here. We've covered a portion of this last week. We're going to cover a portion this week, and then depending, we'll cover a portion next week or the week after, depending on what happens there. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to walk through something here. And my question for you is, I assume that since you're here this morning, there is some part of you that trusts in Jesus Christ with your life, right? You want to live your life according to Jesus' instructions. You want to walk this life out the way Jesus tells you how to walk it out. And I bet that you guys believe that if you do that, your life's going to be the better for it. That does not mean that you won't experience difficulties and challenges and frustrations, because we know Jesus said that in this world we will have trouble, but the life that we live will be to our betterment if we live it according to Jesus' direction than ours, right? But the challenge to that is, how do I know if I'm actually living my life out according to Jesus' instructions, and I'm not falling prey to some warnings that the Bible gives us? And these two references, I don't have them in your notes because they came to me in addition to that being printed. But you can note Proverbs 14:12 and Judges 21:25. Proverbs 14:12, Judges 21:25. If I move past that before you could write them down, just let me know. I'll get it to you later. These two statements say basically the same concept, and they're stated in a number of other places besides these two, but I'm going to quote these two to you guys. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man." So there is a decision to make, or a way to live, or a way to see the world that seems right to a man. Okay? None of us are typically living on a regular basis in a way that we think we shouldn't. There is a way that we think that this is the right way to live out life. This is the right decision to make. And sometimes we get lucky and we actually made the right choice. But there is another option that is possible when we think that we are doing the right thing. And that is the other half to that statement in Proverbs 14:12, which says, "But its end is the way to death." So there are times that we think we're going in the right direction, but we're wrong. And then you take into consideration Judges 21:25. "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And if you read the context of that chapter, that's not actually a good thing. Everyone did what they thought was best. Now, surely none of us are in the position of just doing what we think is best because we follow Jesus, right? We don't want to do what we think is best. We don't want to perceive life, make decisions based on what we think is best. We want to do those things based on what Jesus says is best, because what he says is best we know is correct, right? But there's a problem, because there's two flaws in my perception and your perception that make themselves present every time we try to get it right. Those two flaws are, the first is that you and I have fleshly tendencies. Anybody care to confess that you do not have fleshly tendencies? Okay, Daquan, I'll talk to you after service. Anyone care to confess that you do have fleshly tendencies? Okay. Now, we differ from person to person. Some of us have larger fleshly tendencies than others. We differ from moment to moment, right? You know, on one given occasion, we're doing pretty well in the spirit, and on another, we're not. Okay, so we vary from moment to moment. But in any given moment, that flesh thing is there. The desire to have it my way. We have kind of a selfishness inside of ourselves. The desire to have control. The desire to have it more pleasurable or comfortable than to have to sacrifice, right? No, our flesh that doesn't just say, just give up your pleasure, just give up your comfort. Our flesh doesn't say that. And so that is there every time we're trying to get it right. That flaw is floating around there. The other flaw is our limitations that we don't know everything. News to some of you. But we don't know everything. There's information that a lot of us don't have. And because of that, we can't know for sure we're making the right choice because we don't know all the information. And we never will until we die. So if you're looking to make that happen sooner than later, that's the way that has to happen. We have to die first before we actually know the full picture. So those flaws are sitting there. Every time you and I are trying to figure out what is the right way, our perception is faulty. Even when we're trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit is saying to me, understand that that comment, there is a way that seems right to man, okay? There is a voice that seems to be the Holy Spirit to man, and sometimes we heard the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we actually weren't hearing the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes, which I think is often or more often the case, is we heard the Holy Spirit, but we added something to it that he didn't say. We heard part of what he said, but not the whole picture. Or we heard all of what he said, but we didn't do the right thing with it. Okay? So this, we have to understand that this is still possible, that even though I perceive, I mean, would you agree that we can perceive things incorrectly at times? Even though I perceive this is the voice of the Holy Spirit, I have to understand that there's the possibility that I'm not hearing this right. Well, then what do I do now? Because I'm trying to follow Jesus. What's the solution? If he can be speaking to me and I could be getting it wrong, what am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to know that I'm walking in the right path? Well, you're in luck. Because the Lord inspired a book. That book has a name that we gave to it. It's called the Bible. He decided to lead a number of individuals to write down on paper documenting what God reveals is his voice and his direction for our lives. And the reason why he did that is because when we say we heard from the Holy Spirit, if there's no Bible, who can argue with that, right? Okay, you said God said that you can't do that. Well, I don't know what to say to that because I don't. But if we can look and it's printed, we can see with our eyes the words, then it's a little harder to deny or affirm if we see what the Bible is saying. But there's still a problem. When you and I go to the pages of the Bible, those flaws that are within us are still there between us and the meaning of those words on those pages. And so the selfishness or the desire to have comfort over sacrifice, the limited information that we have and even capacities that we have is still sitting there making it difficult for me to get the right meaning out of those pages. Well, then now what? So I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Bible. What else do I need to make sure that I'm getting this right? Well, the third option is the option that many Christians do not take because they kind of see it as less holy than the other two. Because we think that what I should do is I should get away from everybody else, pray, study the Bible. Have you ever heard somebody say this? I just have to study the Bible for myself. Have you ever heard that before? I just have to study and see what it says for myself. Which we should do in part, but sometimes what they mean by that is I just need to not listen to any of you people, and I just need to listen to the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? You're relying on your faulty perception to get the right voice and to get the right meaning out of the Bible. Well, what are you proposing we do? Listen to other people. What? Listen to other people. Surely that is not a biblical idea. Surely the Bible doesn't say that I should listen to other people because I have God. I don't need to listen to somebody else. Well, let's see if the Bible says I should listen to somebody else. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3 says, charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. You know what this is saying? Paul is telling Timothy that you need to go to other people and tell them that their perception is wrong. You guys shouldn't think that way, and you guys shouldn't teach that. Well, if he's telling them that, then that means there's someone on the other hand that has to listen to a human being say something. Well, I thought we're supposed to just listen to the Holy Spirit and the Scripture. We are supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit and Scripture, but we need our perception of those things tested by another person. This is biblical. This is prescribed to us by Jesus. If we are saying we want to live the way Jesus tells us to live, part of doing that is getting into Christian community where we're being challenged. I heard the Holy Spirit say this. Well, that cannot be. Well, Titus 1 verse 9, Paul says to Titus, give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict. So again, a human being is supposed to tell another human being, you're perceiving this wrong. You have some Bible verses you're using. You think you heard the Holy Spirit. You are wrong. And Paul's implying that the people on the other side should listen to Titus. Well, I still don't know. I think I don't know about that. Well, maybe you need some more evidence of this. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, I asked you to turn there. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll pick up at verse 6. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. If you put these things before the brothers, okay? So we got statements, we got ideas, we got doctrines that Paul's telling Timothy, you need to present these to other people. Well, that means that somebody else is listening to another human being say something, okay? I think sometimes we read through the pages of the Bible, we kind of gloss it over as we see the words, but we don't actually think about it in life and what's happening. He's saying a human being is supposed to be listening to another human being. Then he says that if you do this, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Where'd he get the training? Timothy got trained by other people. Timothy went over to other people and they said things to him. He heard them and listened to them. And so he's being impacted by the perspective of another human being. And then he's coming to other people and he's sharing a perspective to other human beings. I thought we're only supposed to listen to God. We are supposed to listen to God, and God is telling us, listen to other people. Verse 7 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. Now, it goes into the bodily training, health stuff as an example here. But there is a limitation to this. So it's not that I'm just supposed to do what everybody else tells me to do. Okay, so there is a limitation to that. But I'm still supposed to be giving a hearing. Now he continues, verse 11. Command and teach these things. Again, a human being is communicating to other people. Verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So we are supposed to try to impact other people in our lives and be impacted by others. And as we do that, we do it through our words. We're supposed to say things. As we do that, we do it through example. We're supposed to show people by doing it ourselves so they can see, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And we're supposed to do it all with the basis of I'm trying to figure out what the Scriptures are saying about this. Okay, we got the picture so far. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So people came and said, we affirm, we believe that this guy has some things right. Human beings are saying these things. Verse 15, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. This is not just a, hey, every once in a while I'll take an opinion poll. This is a, I'm regularly in fellowship with other Christians, hearing what they have to say and taking those things into consideration so that I'm trying to reach the point of I'm perceiving correctly. Then he says, continuing verse 15, so that all your progress, all may see your progress. Verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, listen to this. So you're listening to others and you're talking to others and you're watching yourself. You're examining. Isn't that biblical? I'm examining myself to ask, am I doing this right? Am I getting this right? And I'm measuring that by the Bible. And then persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This means that I thought I just had to believe in Jesus and I'm saved. You're right. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and you are saved. But what tends to assure that I'm actually walking in that faith and staying in that faith is if I am doing the stuff that Jesus tells me to do to make sure I'm on the right course. Because how many of you know there are known people who have said, yay, Jesus, and then within a course of time, they are not walking that course anymore. Something happened. And the something happened is they didn't take Jesus up on the fact that we're in a fight here. Our flesh and the world wants us to not walk in the ways of Jesus. And that's around us all the time. And if you think that just coming to church once a week on a Sunday is enough to combat that, you're mistaken. We need to immerse ourselves in studying. This is why one of our core values is pursue and obey the scripture. We need to immerse ourselves in studying. What is the Bible saying about this? What is the Bible saying about this decision, about this saying, about the way I'm living? What is it saying? Not what do I want, what is it saying? And asking the Lord to guide us in getting involved in Christian relationships, whether it entails coming here on Sunday and hearing what I say. But listen, if you're only getting my perspective, you're not getting enough. Going to a small group and hearing what other people have to say or building Christian relationships, whether you're doing it in your own way and you're in communities that you're talking about these things, we need to immerse ourselves in these things. But why? Why do I need to? Well, here's how it works. You pray and you ask God, show me the way. And you perceive what you think the Holy Spirit said and what you're supposed to do. Then you go to the Bible and you test it to see, did I hear that correctly? Was that God or was that something else? Because didn't we read a couple verses last week, and it's throughout the New Testament, there is the existence of something called deception, which deception means that you are wrong and you don't know it. So because that is a possibility for us, we have to check. And what does the Bible say that Satan does? He comes to us with big horn, black horns and a red face, and he says, I am Satan, listen to me. That's how he comes, right? No, he comes to us as an angel of light. Satan comes to us attempting to mimic the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so we have that out there around us. So I think I heard God, but I'm not going to trust myself. What does the proverb say? Trust not or lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. So I think I heard this right, but I'm going to go to the Bible to test this out to see if I'm getting this right. And then if I get a green light there, I'm not done yet, although most Christians are at that point. Most Christians think that if I heard from God and I read a verse and I got it, I don't need to listen to anybody else. Wrong. That's not what we just saw. What I need to do is I go to other Christians, and there's going to be different people. So some people we can trust a little more than others with this, but we're going to go and we're going to talk to other people and we're going to say, listen, this is what I heard. This is what I'm seeing. What's your perspective? Now, if they just say, well, my opinion is, and they're not introducing any kind of biblical concepts to the picture, well, guess what you do with that? There's the circular bin over there that you put it in, correct? You toss that. But if they say, well, what about this verse? And it's countering kind of where you were going. you need to go to that verse with open humility and say, maybe what they said is correct. I'm not thinking of that. Or they take your verse and say, well, I see what you think that verse says, but what if it means this? And I need to listen to that. That doesn't mean I have to do what they're saying, but that means that I have to take into consideration that maybe they're seeing something biblically that I'm not seeing. And I need to honestly look at that to see. Because I think there's another Proverbs that says, and I'm advertising Sean's group here that does the study of Proverbs. There's a lot of great stuff in Proverbs, by the way. But there's another Proverbs, and I'm going to paraphrase it, that says, when one person gives a declaration, it seems right until the next person comes along and challenges it. Because it's in the challenging that we can see if this is something that holds water. And I see this sometimes at play with our group, in which sometimes somebody has a perspective, and they know that I, me personally, have a counter perspective to that. And you know what sometimes some people do? Not actually, it doesn't happen in this church. It only happens in other churches. Is that, and I'll sometimes hear, because some people think they do this with kids. Have you ever seen adults talk about their kids when they're standing right there? And it's like, surely they can't hear me. They're kids. Sometimes adults do that. They think that you can't hear through walls. Did you know I can hear through walls? I'm not trying to do that, but I can just hear through walls. I can hear if I'm in a different room than you. Okay. And sometimes the Lord just tells me what you're saying without you knowing it. Isn't that scary? He doesn't always do that. I wish he would. That'd be awesome, but he doesn't. Actually, I don't know if I would want him to have that. But what sometimes some people do is they have a counter idea than what I have. And you know what they do? They go and talk to somebody else other than me about it. And then they go to talk to somebody else other than me about it. And you know why I suspect that they aren't coming to me? Because I think that they know that I might have a few other verses at my disposal that they don't really want to come up against. And the reason is because we don't actually want to know what the Bible is saying. We want the Bible to say what we want it to say. And we have Bible verses here, and we have claimed the Holy Spirit is saying, but if the Holy Spirit is saying that and the Bible is saying that, it will stand up to the test of scrutiny of other biblical students examining that. And if you're willing to know the truth, otherwise, is it possible that you have the Bible in your hand and you have the claimed voice of the Holy Spirit, and is it possible that these apply to you? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death. Is it possible that this applies to you? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You don't know that if you're trusting your own understanding of the voice of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's not human voices. It's that my ability to get those two correct depends upon leaning on the body of Christ. But I'm telling you, there are more Christians that would rather just say, I studied it for myself, I don't need to hear you. And that is not the, as we see, biblical way to approach this. So here's another problem, the other side of this, is we can realize that we have this thing called the Bible, and we're going to take it and try to persuade other people of biblical truths. And what happens is you do that sometimes, and I don't know if you've ever done this, you tried to persuade, and the other person's response is, no, thank you. Which sometimes I think I'd rather if someone says, no, versus drives me nuts. Or the, okay. And then they just go right on their merry way, continuing to do and think the same thing. Which, what happens is, depending on the kind of person you are, you might be tempted to decide, no, I've got to get control of that person. They must live this way. They must think this way. And even if it is biblical truth, you can't control anybody. Nor should you try to control anybody. We can't control people. Our job isn't to control. Our job is to plead. Our job is to try to persuade. And as we do it, our job is to listen to the comeback and ask ourselves, is there some validity in what they're saying back to me? Rather than just saying, no, I know I'm right because I studied this for myself. I hope I'm touching some nerves somewhere. But did you know it's also biblical that I shouldn't try to get control? Romans 14, verse 5, Paul says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. This is something that some people don't understand about personal convictions, is that if you have a personal conviction about something, you don't need to tell everybody about it. Did you know that? Don't worry about that scream. They're still alive. Might be one of my children. If you have a personal conviction, you don't have to tell everybody about it. Your view of pews or chairs, your view of should we do anything about Halloween or not, your view of a lot of different things, you don't need to tell everybody about it. But some people think, but they got to know. They have to know so that they don't do that because they can't do that. I need to make sure that they don't do that. You don't need to make sure that anybody does anything or doesn't do anything. You need to persuade, and you need to listen, and you need to be humble. And if you realize I've got a personal conviction, it's between me and the Lord. And because Paul says in verse 12 of Romans 14, each of us will give an account of himself to God. That does not mean that if I can't get that person to go in that direction, that they are off the hook because I can't control them. Guess what? At some point, and this should caution you in the way you interact with others, at some point you're going to be standing before Jesus. And he's going to judge you based on the way you walked through this life. And you might have said, well, I know that so-and-so said this, but I didn't have to do what other people said. And Jesus might say, you're right. But they were saying what I was saying. And you should have listened. And so, but knowing that, we know that I'm not going to try to get in control of Carol. I'm not going to try to control her. I'm just going to let Jesus take care of that. I'm going to try to persuade her because I don't want a bad outcome for that, but I'm just going to let Jesus take care of that. But some of us think we need, you don't have to make things happen. I hope you can be released from that, okay? When you witness, we should witness and we should try to persuade, but you don't have to control what the outcome is to that, okay? We don't need to control those things. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes. Again, highlighting the reality that until Jesus comes back, we see through a glass dimly. Until Jesus comes back, we're all still trying to figure this thing out. Okay? I know we have Holy Spirit. I know we have Bible. But even with those, we're still just trying to figure this thing out. And so we need to be gracious and understanding towards each other that they might have it better than I do. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. And so I have to understand that this is the context that we're in. Now, what are some principles to help us know what to do when we are in a scenario in which I see it this way and this person sees it this way, especially if we have to make a group decision on something? That's why family gatherings, especially over the past couple of years, have been irritating because you have to make a collective decision and not everybody sees it the same way. And so now, how does the decision get made? How does it get made? Well, there's three terms that we need to understand when it comes to this scenario, and part of the group is us. We're a group. Did you know that? We're a group of people. We call ourselves Bethel. We're a part of the big picture body of Christ. We're a group, and there's three terms we need to understand when we're trying to figure out what we hold people accountable to and how and what things we let go of. Three terms. You ready for these? One is biblical absolutes. Okay, biblical absolutes is this is clearly what the Bible is saying. And with those, we need to hold everybody accountable to those things. There is no bend in those things. The second, and I'm going to go out of order here. The second is personal convictions. I personally feel convicted about this. And the third is church teachings. Now, the best way we're going to understand what these three things are and what to do with them is to understand the spectrum that we're working with. So at the top of this spectrum, or maybe this scale, is biblical mandates. Biblical mandates sit at the top. Guess what sits at the bottom? Personal convictions. Personal convictions are hanging out down here at the bottom. And biblical absolutes are at the top. Church teachings are somewhere in between, and they can kind of go back and forth. Well, what am I talking about when I say church teachings? I'm talking about Bethel's stand on something. So here's an example. The Bible is not abundantly clear that on Sunday morning, in our Sunday morning service, we have to use the manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is clear that there is the gifts of the Holy Spirit available, and we should use them to serve and minister to one another, and we can do that individually. We can do that in various pockets and gatherings, but nowhere in the Bible is it saying that we have to do that in our Sunday morning service. But we have to make a choice with that, don't we? We have to decide, are we going to allow that or not? And it's not that we try to make it happen, but we have to decide, are we going to let it or not let it? And if we do let it, what are some of the kind of formalities? Because the Bible gives us some organization on how to do that, and how are we going to respond to that? Well, our position is, we believe that it is appropriate to exercise spiritual gifts in our Sunday morning service. But we believe there should be some guidance to that, but we believe that should be allowed. We've made a church group decision on that over something that's not a biblical absolute. I hope you're getting the picture, okay? Because sometimes in order for us to function as a group, we have to make some decisions that do not reach biblical mandate level, okay? Am I clear on that, right? So now the question is, how does something become a biblical mandate versus a personal conviction or anywhere in between on this scale, okay? You ready to figure that out? Because I don't know about you, but I've ran across people who made a biblical absolute be out to be a personal conviction. And I've seen people who made personal convictions out to be biblical mandates. And we don't want that because I don't want my opinion and I don't want your opinion. I love you. I'll hear you out. But I don't want to live according to Duane's rule of life, right? I want to live according to what is truly Jesus's will, and I can see that through Bible. So how does it move up and down the train? There are three ways it does and three ways that it does not. One of the ways are the amount of clear statements that are being made about that given issue. So if I have no verses, guess where it goes? Personal conviction. And I mean, it's actually saying that. Because if you ever had someone say, well, the Bible teaches this, and you're like, well, where does it teach that? And they say, well, right here, and they show you the verse, and you look at the verse, and you're like, it doesn't say that at all. What are they trying to say? So I mean, it actually says that. What about if you have one verse? Where does it go? Does it go all the way to the top now? No. I need a lot of verses. But the more verses I have, and not that there's a magic number, okay? So it's not that you reach 30 and it's like you're on the game show where you hit the thing hard enough and you got the ding, ding, ding at the top. Okay, it's not that there's a magic number. But the more statements there are in the Bible that are saying it, the higher up it goes. Okay, am I making sense? So this way, when we understand this, this takes the control off of us and puts it in the hands of the Bible, okay? Which I know that some of us might not be fully in supportive of that idea. But if we're going to get to the place that Jesus wants us to be, we have to surrender to his word, which is why I love that song that Joe sang that was emphasizing that word over and over again. The second item is, how many contradictory statements are there to the other verses? Not that the Bible contradicts itself, but let's say, well, I found 30 verses that say this, so biblical mandate. But what about these other five verses that seem to imply a different way to view that? I need to take some consideration of that. Now, if there's 5 to 30, okay, I'm probably moving closer to the top still, versus if there's 30 verses that are saying it and there's 29 verses that are contradicting, okay, it's kind of starting to sink a little bit. You get the picture still, okay, how this is moving. The other is whether or not they are disputed verses. And not that the person is disputing that the verse is correct. They're disputing if your interpretation of it is correct. And we get that confused sometimes, because sometimes we have someone come and say, well, I don't know. I think that means this. And we think they're disobeying the Bible. No, they're probably not disobeying the Bible. They're disobeying your interpretation of it, which is flawed, by the way, because we have faulty perception. So if I have 30 verses, I'm moving towards the top. But if 25 of them, people are given reasonable, different interpretations of those verses, guess what starts happening to that issue? It starts to sink some. So you get the picture of the way this works. Okay, do we get the picture? Any questions? Okay, are we all on board on this? Because if we are, then that means you have to do everything I tell you to say. Just kidding. Here are the things that do not determine how this moves up and down the scale. You ready for this? Some of these are going to be easy pill to swallow. Some of this is not going to be an easy pill to swallow. The number of people that support the idea does not move this thing at all. So if we survey Bethel and 80, or even survey all the Christians in the world, and 80% of them say this is correct, this thing doesn't get moved at all by that. Did you know that? It doesn't. Now, that means that if 80% of Christians are saying the same thing, I need to listen up, right? I need to say, well, why is it that 80% of Christians are saying the same thing? There might be something to this. So I listen, but how do I listen? I listen to what they say openly and humbly, and then I take it to where? The Bible, which isn't that Acts 17, the Bereans? The Bereans listened to what Paul said, and then they took it willingly, and then they went to the Bible to ask, is what he's saying correct here? So we're going to listen to it, and if we find that 80% of, which shouldn't happen, but it might happen sometimes, 80% of the Christians are saying this, but I see that the Bible's saying different, guess which direction I go? I go the direction that I'm seeing the Bible saying, despite that 80% are saying this. This is where pastors get in trouble sometimes, because you guys might want us to say one thing, but the Bible says a different thing. And guess what I get the lucky privilege of doing? I get to tell you what you don't want to hear so that you can hate me and I can go home with warm and fuzzy feelings. Such a great privilege to have. That does not move. God's voice is not a democracy. Did you know that? God's voice is not up for vote. It doesn't matter what people are saying it, what preachers are saying it. It doesn't matter what authors are saying it. It doesn't matter. If it's not Bible, it doesn't move this thing one way or another. Second thing that doesn't affect it is the number of references that a person lists. Remember I said this last week? I can make a statement and say, this is true. Leviticus 19, 7, 2 Timothy 8, verse 1, Titus 6, verse 9, Revelation 2, verse 7, James 5, verse 1, Judges 16, 9, and 2 Samuel 3, and wait, I almost forgot, Isaiah 15, verse 2. Those things don't mean anything if that's not what the verses say. Okay, so just because someone lists, and I'm telling you, you have to do this. If you're reading a book and it lists a bunch of references for its ideas, you have to go look at those references to see what they say. You can't just go, well, wow, that must be biblical because there's a bunch of references there. No, that does not move this thing up and down the chain. It's whether or not the Bible actually says it. This is the pill that you won't probably want to swallow, the last one. God told me. It doesn't make this thing move at all. You know, well, what do you mean? Because if God told us, then isn't it God we're supposed to listen to? Yes, God's voice, not your perception of God's voice. So if you show up and say, well, God said that we shouldn't have chairs, that doesn't move me at all. Did you know that? It moves me enough for me to say, well, maybe he heard something, so I need to hear the person out. But you know what I'm looking for from you after that? I'm looking for some reference, some Bible verses here now. Because if you're saying God told me, I'm looking for some Bible verses. Because if God told you, and if the group has to abide by what you heard God say, there better be some Bible to that. Now, I can hear God tell me, because you can hear God tell you, you need to stay single for the rest of your life. And guess what? You need to stay single for the rest of your life. You don't need a single verse for that. Okay, what does the Bible say? That if it is sin to me and I do it, it's sin, right? I don't need a verse for that. However, if I need to tell everybody else that all you guys that are single need to stay single, God told me so isn't good enough anymore. I need to have some Bible to back that up. This is how we work as a group. As a group, for group decisions, we cannot say God told me to go told me so without some backup. You need some backup to that. Am I clear there? Okay, so you can come to me and say, God told me so, and there has to be an and to that, all right? Otherwise, this thing doesn't go anywhere. In fact, if all you have is God told me to, where does it fall? Personal convictions. There must be Bible to back it up if it's going to move. And you know why we don't like that? Because we like to be able, because I'm convinced that some people have told me God told me so, not because they heard anything, but because they thought that's what would make me move. And if someone comes to you and tell, or if I come to you and say, God told me so to you, and I don't have Bible to it, you don't have to do it at all. Do you know that? Oh, but I don't want to disobey God. Yeah, you shouldn't disobey God. But you can disobey somebody else's perception of what God is saying if they're not right. It's the Bible that makes this clear. Am I clear here? Okay, I'm not talking mud out here or anything, am I? Okay, all right. So moving up and down the spectrum. So now let's think through some ways that this plays itself out. Joey, yeah. I'm listening to you. So let's take Halloween. Oh, it makes the church unite in ways like no other way. Isn't that wonderful? Halloween. What should you do with Halloween? Is it okay for me to give out candy? Is it okay for the church to give out candy? Is it okay for us to put a costume on? Is it okay for us not to put a costume on? What am I supposed to do with that? If I pray about that and God says, don't do it, guess what I need to do? Don't do it. Well, but so-and-so is doing it. Doesn't matter. I'm not supposed to do it. Now, what am I not supposed to do with that? I'm not supposed to take that and go to other people. Because if you're fine, you can't be doing that because God told me. Now, what you can do is if you're finding biblical basis for why you think that other people shouldn't do that, you can go to other people and say, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And that is appropriate. But if you don't have like a biblical mandate, it's not moving up the scale, then if you present your case and they go, yeah, but there's this and this, so I don't think I'm on board with you, guess what we need to do? Let them make their choice, right? Because it's not a biblical mandate. However, if we find 30 verses that say, thou shalt not hand out candy on October 31st, which there isn't any, I don't think, unless it's in Leviticus somewhere, Diane. There isn't any that says that. Now, there might be some things that say some things, and there are some problematic things with the holiday. But if I don't have several verses that are saying, thou shalt not do this thing, I need to be careful to judge what other people choose to do in that. That does not mean that they won't end up guilty before God, okay? So there's still a personal responsibility, but I need to be careful trying to place that on somebody else. Now, if the church is going to make a decision, the church needs to have to try to figure it out. And I hope you understand that the board, when we get together and make decisions, we don't just roll dice and see what happens, okay? And we don't just say, well, my opinion is, and my opinion is. You know what we do in those board meetings? We spend the first 30 minutes asking God for direction. And then we, with our knowledge of Scripture, bring that to the forefront when we try to make decisions. We are trying to figure out what God is saying, not what we think he is saying. So when the church decides to make a decision, what if the church makes a decision that you don't like? Sure, I've never done that. I'm sure every decision I've made, you've loved. Thank you, Joni. I appreciate that. You're the only one that feels that way, I think. Okay. So if the church makes a decision and you're not in favor of that, you need to evaluate it based on this scale. If it's over a matter of personal conviction, guess what you get to do with that? Let it go. Well, but it feels so important to me. And I had an angel come to me in a vision and say it. And I felt tingly goosebumps. And gold dust came floating from the sky. And everything I did after that fell in the perfect place. And so I know it was. Have you ever heard people talk like that? Well, when I did this and that happened and that, and I knew it was God. It drives me crazy when people say, I knew it was God, and there's not a scripture reference anywhere in there. You can't know for sure it was God if there's no, you can think and you could possibly be on the right place, but you can't know that. So if it falls down to personal conviction, let it go. Otherwise, who's in control of this whole thing? Did you know that, because my kids sometimes ask me, don't you own the church? What have I been saying to them? Are they not getting this? Okay. I don't own this building. Neither do you, neither does the board, neither does Bethel Assembly of God own this building. Jesus owns the building. None of us get to call the shots. We don't get to vote on what direction we go, though we have some voting that happens. We are trying to figure out what does Jesus want to happen. And so if it's down here and the people who are put in the place to make decisions make a decision, let it go. Now, if it moves up somewhere in the range of up here, then listen. Like I said, you can come to any board member, you can come to me, you can come to any church leader and say, well, I think this. You can completely do that. I'm fine with that. Just don't do it right before service if it's something that you really don't like about me. Okay? Don't come to me before service and say, I don't like you and this is why. Can you just wait till after? I would love that. You can come and say things to me before service, but don't say that. Okay? So you can talk, you can say those things. You can even present your case and say, well, here's this what this Bible verse says and this Bible verse. You can do that. And I've had people do that, and I was so appreciative that they did it. And sometimes they did that, and I was like, you're right. We need to change that. And that's what the leadership should do. Or there's been times where I saw that, and I'm like, well, but there's this and this and this. So I still don't think I'm on the page with you. We're still going that direction. And you know how we operate in unity? If it did not reach biblical mandate, then we need to go, well, I tried. That's the direction they went. Now I need to go and tell a bunch of other people that they shouldn't support that. Are you awake still? That's actually not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be in support of the church leadership if they're not violating biblical mandates. Now, if, and there are churches that do this, if there is a violation of biblical mandate, guess what you do? You just run and you don't say anything to anybody. No. You go and you talk to the pastor and you say, I'm leaving and this is why and I'm out of here. See ya. No, I don't want to hear it. I'm gone. That's how you do it, right? No. You go to the pastor and or the church leadership and you say, I'm concerned and this is why, and you present your case. And if you're convinced it's a biblical mandate and their response is, you're wrong, we're going this way anyway, then at that point, you can feel the freedom to say, I can't be a part of that thing anymore. If you did it all correctly, because doesn't Matthew 18 say if your brother sins against you, what do? You hightail it out of there and you block them on Facebook and you block them on your phone. You don't listen to them anymore. No, you talk to them about it. And your goal isn't to tell them like it is and try to get them to be controlled by you. Your goal is to let's figure this thing out. Okay? So that's the thing that happens there. Now, my question for you is, did you know that sometimes I pause because I can't remember what I was going to say next? Other times I pause because I'm just waiting to see if you guys start paying attention more closely. My kids, we start to whisper sometimes if we want them to listen. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and pray to lead us? Here's the question for you. I have a question for you. Is it possible that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death? Is it possible that I'm actually living my life out the way I see fit and not the way Jesus is showing me? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Is it possible that I am basing my view of reality on my opinion, my gut, and not off of what Jesus Christ says? Here's the test for that. You ready for the test? If you are making decisions, forming opinions, and you are not asking the Holy Spirit to guide you in that, then you are living your life as you see fit and not the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean I need to pray, should I tie my left shoe first or my right shoe? No. Let's be reasonable. But I need to be asking the Holy Spirit every step of the way, Holy Spirit, show me how I need to handle this conflict that I have with this person. Holy Spirit, show me if I should be watching this, listening to this, saying this. Holy Spirit, show me. If you're not doing that, you're living the way you see fit. You're not following Jesus. You might happen to stumble across the right paths on occasion, but you're not following Jesus if you're not asking him for his guidance. You might be asking, and you could start playing something, whatever you choose back there. You might be asking the Holy Spirit for guidance, but if you're not checking the voice that you think you're hearing and you're not studying the Bible to see if the Bible's actually saying that, guess what? You, with attaching the Holy Spirit voice to it, you are still living your life the way you see fit. You can't just say, Holy Spirit told me, and that means I'm following the Holy Spirit. You can't do that. Because if it's the Holy Spirit doesn't violate the word that he inspired. And so if you're not checking constantly, checking with the Bible, what does the Bible say about this? I heard a voice. Is that what the Bible says? Guess what? You are presently living your life as you see fit. Thirdly, if you are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and you are studying the Bible, but you are not allowing other Christians to challenge what you're hearing with the Word of God, you're still living life the way you see fit. The only person that's truly living their lives in surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ is the ones who do what he says, that they listen to his voice, they study his word and accept whatever it says, and they place themselves in Christian community where they're fed into. Those are the people that are listening to God's voice. And it doesn't mean that just because you're there, it's happening. Because you could be there and in your head, you're going, I'm not listening to any of that. But if you're actually in that place, you're good. You're not living your life as you see fit. But if you are in a place that you're not actually living your life according to Jesus, you're living your life as you see it, you have some work to do with Jesus this morning. You need to come down here and get those things right and surrender to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought I had it because I had a voice. I thought I had it because I had a few verses. But I now realize that I'm not living in subjection to. We say Jesus is Lord. Is He Lord of my life? If there is an issue, then I encourage you as they lead us, come down here and get submitted to Jesus Christ and let Him do a work in us this morning. So this morning, your testimony is, because none of you came down here, that if I stand here and preach a message and I deliver to you what the Bible says, I am fully going to expect you're going to do everything that the Bible says. Good there? Okay. Or if you don't think that I interpret it correctly, I fully expect you're going to come to me and say, well, this is why I think it's wrong, and you're going to have some biblical take on that as to why. Right? We're good there? Okay, so I'm expecting to see wonderful things starting to happen because you're going to do everything the Bible says. I'm looking forward to this.